How do we find our way home? Anybody want to go home and feel safe? Yes. Anybody want to feel safe around spiritual authorities in your life? How about when you go home for the holidays? Randy Clark always had, I teach in his school twice a year, and he always has me to come in and teach right before the Christmas break. And so I asked the principal, Mike Hutchins, I asked him one time, I said, Mike, why do you always pick this date in December? It's good for me because you don't get a lot of dates in December when you're a ministry like ours. You know, people don't want to touch their pain at Christmas. And he said, Trisha, because we want to send these kids home helping them to understand root issues, dwarf, and thinking, so when they walk back into their home, their sphere, where they're, you know, where they grew up at, that they know how to catch this stuff. And somebody said, you need to go and teach this everywhere. I get into as many places, you know, I appreciate referrals and stuff like that, because I do believe this message is the social crisis of the world today, and I do believe with all my heart, if we get this, if we help people to understand this message, it will change the world. I know I've said that more than one time. I do repeat myself. You know, it's how we get the message across. All right, can we put up that chart then? You might be thinking like an orphan if. I love this chart. You guys know who Jeff Foxworthy is? Well, we got this idea from Jeff Foxworthy. You know how he says you might be a redneck if? Well, okay, well, we're going to, in the book, if you get a hold of the book, From Slavery to Sonship, if we run out of them, just go to our website, whatever. In the book, there's charts. And there you go, it's a chart just like this. I'm only going to use one of the charts today for the sake of time. But what it is a chart that compares. When we think like an orphan in these categories, we might act this way. And if we think like a son, we might be acting this way. So let's look at the first one. How do you view your image of God? Okay? If you are an orphan-minded person, you're just a little off-center in your thinking. You're still loved. You're still accepted. You're still valued. But you still, there's something wrong. We call it stinking orphan thinking. All right, you see God as a master. How many of you have been told, you know, God the master with a list? And as long as you check off the list, then you have approval in the heart of a father. Well, see, if he had wanted that kind of relationship with you, he'd have set himself up as God and not father. He would never have called himself father. He would have wanted you to call him God. But everywhere in the Bible, how do we address him? Our father, which art in heaven, hallowed, honored are your name, is who you are. And every one of his names talks about his identity. He's Jehovah Yireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Nissi, my banner. He's Jehovah Rohe, my healer. It's all about you. He named himself, he made his characteristics all about providing for you as a father. I love this. See, it takes effort to think differently because religion has taught us another way to think. So, all right, so let's look at this. But as a son, you see God as a loving father. Your image of God as a son is he's a loving father. But as an orphan, you got your list. Checking it off, because you got to see if you're naughty or nice. That's not who Father is. You're loved even whenever you mess up today. That's what that cool whip, you know. You go back to your stuff all day long and you're still loved. You're still loved just as much. Now, you may not love yourself, but see, that's your issue, not God's. God doesn't have issue with you over stuff like this. But God doesn't want to be grieved. You know, the Bible does talk about the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. But it's because he knows what's best for you. That grieves the heart of any father. To know that my son was created for this, or my daughter was created for this, but yet they live like this. I deal with young, for whatever reason, God's bringing all these young kids into my life right now, 25, 26, 27, that have already messed up. My youngest son's, and he loves because he shares the story. At 27 years old, he's been an addict since he was 15 or 16 years old. 6 foot seven, been 6 foot seven since he was about 11, 12 years old. Ball player, coaches ball, basketball, coaches everything. And the whole time he's coaching you, he's living his life on drugs. He got caught finally. You know, and he got caught. He lied to his mom and dad, stole from them, cheated, just did all kinds of stuff. Now, his dad's my financial advisor. I know how my stuff is run. And I know him personally. And they brought him to me for ministry. We ministered to him. Make a long story short, he went through a, kind of like a, I don't know what to call it, but an addictions program, Teen Challenge. That's exactly what he went through. You know, and now he's a teacher for Teen Challenge. Got his stuff. Okay, so we walked him, helped walk him through this process. I never one time saw his daddy stop loving him. I never one time saw his daddy stop paying the thousands of dollars that it took to get him through this program. I never saw one time in the midst of the child's failure that the dad enabled the child. But he never abandoned the child. Yeah, there's a huge difference. So, all right. You might be thinking like an orphan if you see your position in the kingdom as a servant, a slave. Now, as a son, I serve. As a daughter, I serve. But I don't have to. I don't have to be valued. I just love it. If I could do what I wanted to do, I'd have this big old house, and I would have 6 bedrooms, and I would have pastors. I'd do pastors' retreats, and I would just love them. You know, I'd bring other people in to teach, and I would just cook and serve them and clean up after them. That's my heart. That's what I want to do. But I'm not a slave. That, to me, would be destiny fulfilled. To be, and one day I may get to do that. But you see what I'm saying? Because I know that I'm a daughter in the kingdom of God, in my position, I don't feel like a slave, so I can serve. And as a son, I'm a son and daughter. Again, let's go back to the royal family. They wake up every morning knowing who they are. They wake up every morning knowing that they have daily assignments. They wake up every morning know that provision is already there. Because they know their authority. All right, you might be thinking like an orphan in the category of dependency if you're insecure and you're filled with anxiety or you worry. Now, wait a minute, Trisha. You don't understand what's going on in my life. I understand that 2 days ago, I thought my daughter was going crazy. You can ask Katie. We just had situation after situation after situation. And I watched her fill herself with anxiety to the point I thought we were going to have to take her to the hospital. And all it took was one word from authority about peace. Sarah, stop. You know who you are. Stand down and breathe. There's a new song out now called Breathe. It's by Jesus Culture. I love that song. Just come and breathe. And so, when the enemy is trying to make you, fill you with the anxieties of your life, in this world you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good peace. That in the midst of your tribulation, your dependency is on, next slide, is that you're submitted to the mission of Father for your life. The mission is the word. Fear not, I've overcome the world. We either believe it or we don't. In the midst of our storm, how you walk on the water is whenever you, Father, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but in the midst of it, I choose to trust you. It's not easy, guys, but this is what it takes to live in a position of a son. You know, I wait on him. This is my new anthem in life. It's Psalms 37:5 in the Passion Translation. And in there it says, as we roll our burdens onto the Lord, He pulls the plan of our life off perfectly. See, those are things we have to use energy to remind ourselves of. Father, I roll Evie and Jack and all the cares of this day, whatever your cares are for that day, I roll them over on the Lord. And as I do that, He's already pulled it off perfectly. See, He's already got a plan. The deal is you don't have to wait day by day by day. All we have to do is submit to the mission of the Father. Again, it takes work. Not the easiest thing I've ever done in my life, but it's a better way to live than the old way. Being an orphan. Theology. You might be an orphan if your theology, or you might be thinking like an orphan, if you have a love of law. Oh, again, I can't tell you about, I go to this guy's Facebook page every day. I don't read it. I don't like it. But I feel like the Lord said, go and pray for him. Because somehow, some way, somebody presented a list to him that he only measures up if he checked everything off his list for that day. See, he's an orphan. He's an orphan-minded person, performance-driven, very judgmental, and thinks everybody ought to think like him. Well, I don't. You know, I don't. I'm trying not to be rude to him when he posts things. And I know I can block him, but you know what? I just delete. If he says something bad, I just go and delete it. I don't want to shut his voice down because he really is a son. He claims Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, so he really is the son. He's just a mean son. No, I'm just kidding. So, how do you view your theology? If you're thinking like a son, then it goes to the law of love. There's a huge difference. The law of love. And you know what the law of love is? It goes back to 1 Corinthians 13. Love thinks no evil. Now, I'm not saying you forget the pain, you forget the abuse. I'm not saying you have to do any of that. I'm just saying, I refuse to think evil about you. As a leader in the body of Christ, constantly I have to deal with immature people. Constantly I have to set boundaries. Constantly I have to allow people to reap their own the consequences of their behavior. There are consequences to bad behavior. But nothing, Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So why judge me? He posted the other day on his Facebook page, he goes, if you follow Trisha Frost, you're going to hell. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go to that kind of hell than live in heaven with you. I didn't say that. I was nice. I did. I'm human. I wanted to say it. But I didn't. Why? Because I operate out of the law of love. Nothing wrong with having a bad thought. You know, pop yourself in the head. Move that thought forward. I do that all the time. It's work. It is work. Do you know where you love people from? You ever heard somebody say, I heart you? No, you don't love from the heart. Your heart does not have the capacity to love anybody. You love from your mind. And not, oh no, you love from your mind. The emotion of love, a choice too. The emotion of love is in the front lobal part of your brain. It's where you experience love. And so where you experience negative thoughts is in the back lobal part of your brain. So I do this all the time. Again, I'm weird. I know it. But when I start having a negative thought about somebody, go forward. I do. I pop myself in the head. Yeah. No. I pop myself in the head and I go, wait a minute. But you know, as a Christian leader, there are times where I have to address bad behavior. You know, it doesn't mean I stop loving you. And I may have to pull somebody else in. You know, I may have to pull Katie in as a worship leader and say, okay, Katie, I'm dealing with this guy. Can you help me out here? But we don't ever gossip about somebody. Katie, what is your experience and how can I apply it? I know, but people do. So you see what I'm saying? The love of law. Where do you see yourself? And the last one, security. You may be thinking like an orphan if security, if you seek the praise of man, which leads to striving. I don't have to strive for a place of leadership anymore. I was born into the royal family, and I know my authority. So I don't have to strive for leadership. But, I mean, as a son, as an orphan, I'm striving. But as a son, I've got rest and peace in the midst of the greatest turmoil. Do I worry for 30 seconds? And then I catch that orphan thinking. And I go, okay, God, I'm rolling this burden over on you, Jesus, because you will pull it off perfectly. If you leave it up to me, I'm going to mess up. But if you give me your witty ideas, your creative inventions and witty ideas, I'll respond to the mission you have here. See, that chart is just really, really good to help you there. All right, so real quickly, we're going to run through finding our way home. What are the truths to follow so that you make sure your orphan issues are dealt with, or you make sure you can catch your orphan root issues and exchange them for truths to follow? Number one. All right. This is more than a list, guys. This is experiential knowledge. You know, all I can say is this is experiential knowledge in my life as a leader. All right. Number one. What truth? You have to introduce the orphan to love. You can't cast out an orphan spirit. It's not a spirit, in my opinion. Some people preach it's a spirit. I don't believe that. I believe it's a heart attitude or a mindset. You can't cast out a mindset. You introduce the orphan to love. The goal is to change what the orphan thinks. The goal is to change what the orphan mindsetted person thinks. Number two, the second truth to follow. Sometimes you have to forgive those that have hurt you. Because if you stay stuck in your woundedness, you're going to stay stuck back in those two behaviors. Always feeling abandoned. And if you feel abandoned, you'll either reject everybody or you're going to rebel against everybody. I don't want to do either or. Forgiveness does not mean you forget what your parents or your pastor or whoever did to you. It means that you make a choice to let go of your identity being formed in your brokenness. Forgiveness simply means that I make a choice to let go of my identity being formed out of the brokenness of my parents' homes, of the pastor who wounded me, of the brother, of whoever it was. I won't get my identity from abuse. I won't get my identity from abandonment. There's no perfect parent, guys. I've never met one. You know, I'm looking to meet one, but I've never met a perfect parent. But again, shame off you if you've been the imperfect parent. I've been the imperfect parent. I've hurt and wounded every one of my children. I have healing the hearts of the family out there. If you've got wounded kids, I advise you to get a hold of that CD. It'll help you bring healing and restoration to your hurt family. So, how does this play out? We met a lady in Charlotte, North Carolina, right over here when Zach was alive, and we were doing a seminar called Breaking Free, our tape series out there. And we interacted. We didn't have the other series developed yet, but we still had some of the wisdom. And so we tried to apply it in this seminar. So this lady was in this seminar, and she got a hold of this message. Now, you guys may not believe some of these stories I tell you, but I promise to goodness they are true. So this gal, she came up from ministry at the end of the service, and she started telling us this horrendous story. And she started talking about how her stepfather had abused her sexually and yeah, yeah, yeah. And so she told her mom. You know, she's a young kid. She's like 15, 16 years old. She told her mom all about it, and her mom was such an insecure person, she kicked the daughter out. She kicked the daughter out of her house and said, if you ever come back, I'll kill you. The daughter was a threat to her relationship with that husband. And so the girl had lived for a long time, you know, just hurt and wounded by her mom, afraid of her mom, no relationship with her mom. She came to our seminar, got a hold of this revelation about how do you bring healing? What are some of the truths to follow? And this one, these first two. You know, to forgive your earthly parents for misrepresenting love to you. We've all done it. And so she came forth and she forgave her mom of all the things that her mom had done to her. But then number three comes into play. You have to, at times, if we go ahead and get number three up there, sometimes you have to ask earthly parents to forgive you for the way that you have hurt or disappointed them. See, she closed her heart to her mom, rightly so, but she closed her heart to her mom and refused to ever, ever go back to her mom's house. She got a hold of this message, and she decided, you know what? I blame my mom, and her mom was to blame. But she goes, I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to take responsibility for my reaction to my mom's woundedness. It's not that her mom's not guilty. It's just that sometimes we have to take personal responsibility for how we react to woundedness that's come upon us, you know. And so she went to her, she found out where mom was living, and her mom, you know, sometimes in the country, her mom lived in a modular home, and she had this fence all the way around her house, front and back. And so the daughter had to go to the front of the fence and scream out to her mom, call her name, and her mom came to the door with a shotgun, fully loaded, pointed at her. What do you want? I told you if you ever came back here, I'd kill you. And I mean it. You don't ever think that that kind of stuff happens, do you? But it does. It happens. We see this all the time. We see these kind of drastic stories all the time. And so the girl told her mom, Mom, if you just give me 5 minutes, I promise I'll go away and I'll never, ever bother you again. So the mom put the gun down and said, okay, what? And so the lady took ownership of how she reacted to her mom. And I don't know all the words she said, but basically she didn't blame her mom for the woundedness. She said, Mom, remember when this happened in our life? I want to ask you to forgive me for disrespecting you and dishonoring you and reacting to you with hatred and yada, yada, yada. Even though she wasn't guilty, even though the mother and the father had done terrible things, she took responsibility for her reaction to pain. Well, guess what happened? The mom dropped the gun, went running out, grabbed her daughter, pulled her in, and said, no, I'm the one that should be asking forgiveness from you. I disappointed you. I abandoned you. I didn't protect you. And all those things. Now, come to find out, her mom wasn't saved. So the daughter brought the mom to the church that night to hear the next night of our whatever. The mom got saved. Now, that's a good story, right? That's not the end of the story. 2 days later, the mother drops dead of heart attack. That mother would be in hell today had it not been for that little orphan-mindsetted girl choosing to live her life as a son. That's the love of God. And that woman is in heaven today, and we will see her, and that daughter will live all eternity with her mom. That's why it's so important to find these truths, to find the orphan issues, and then match a truth with the issue so that you can move forward in life. I love this. Like I say, we're changing the world. I know it. Number four. Focus your life on being a son or daughter. You know, the Holy Spirit's there to help you. The Holy Spirit's there to comfort you. The Holy Spirit is there to help you receive love and give it away. That's how I live my life. Are there times where I don't want to go to another place and meet another person and give any more love away and not have another assignment? Of course there are. But that's when I press back into the love of the Father. And I realize it's not me doing this to begin with. It's the Spirit of God who lives in me. If He's got an assignment for me, if He has an assignment for you, He's going to equip you to get it done. He will give you the strength, the energy, whatever it is you have need of, He will give it to you. And so, Jesus, some of you ain't going to like this, but I love this. Jesus was not the son he was because of himself. Jesus was the son he was because of the father he had. John 5:19. Jesus couldn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do. All right? On the cross. Ooh. On the cross, do you know that Jesus could not forgive you of your sin? He said, Father, forgive them. And so when we can't do something, instead of becoming an orphan, let's reach out to the Father. Father, this was your idea to begin with. So, Father, you forgive them. I will submit to the mission of the Father and what? Live. I will submit to the mission. What is the mission of the Father? To receive love, give it away. To receive love and give it away. Number five, the fifth truth to follow. Forgive spiritual and government authorities. Any of us ever had an issue with a pastor? Any of us ever had an issue with a boss? Not this pastor, of course. Any of us ever had an issue with a boss or a spiritual authority in our life? Sometimes we have. I love what my friend Phyllis says. She says, L-I-G-M-O. Let it go, move on. For those of you, I don't like that text language. I don't know half of it. I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, say the wrong thing or something, you know. You know, just some of them. And so she goes, lit. And whenever I do something, when I'm thinking about something or processing something in her presence, the very minute I slip over into the orphan mindset, she'll look at me and she'll go, lit mo. And I go, shut up. Sometimes we have to let it go and move on.